Well, if we could get started again, have some, I guess some might call it good news here in a couple of minutes. But I do want to remind you of something that I said earlier, and that is what we're talking about here today is really a survey of leadership qualities. You know, we're hitting a lot of different topics, a lot of different subjects, and we're not going into much depth at all with any of those. But I believe, Brother Terry, I may be right to think that the hope is that you can identify an area where you would like to have more in-depth training and knowledge, and that BIO's going to be available through SMART training to put that together and be able to provide that for you and for others. That, you know, you're here and you're hearing it firsthand, but I'm sure you know people, other missionaries, pastors, whomever, and you know them well enough to think that perhaps they and their ministry might benefit from some of this type of training, and perhaps a particular subject, if you know them well enough, you know they might need to improve in area A, and you share that with Brother Terry, and then, of course, you go to your friend who you're close enough to share that with and say, you know, your ministry might really benefit if you made some improvements in this area, and I think I know where you could get that. So what we're talking about today, again, not real deep, just an overview of a lot of different things. As I said earlier, you've noticed, I'm sure, the overlap on topics. But I remember at some point early in my life someone saying that repetition is the best teacher. So there is value in some redundancy where you hear things over and over again. Well, I've got only one more slide to complete what we were talking about before lunch. And Brother Terry, you want me to finish that and then... And then Brother Terry's going to come up and talk. Now, we were talking about how to lose at leadership. And we just touched on these, finishing up with outsourcing blame to others and how that the apparent success of being able to do that early in a presidency, but how that eventually, after 1.5 terms in the White House, it catches up to you, and blaming others finally wears out. And how that if you're the leader, you need to stand up and be a leader, and you need to be responsible, and you need to be willing to accept accountability for your organization that you're leading. If you, which is a great transition into this next topic, how to lose at leadership, you know, if you fail to take accountability and responsibility. Our current president recently was quoted as saying that the buck stops with him. Well, of course, that was rather new for him to say something like that, but I'm a bit of a student of politics. I even ran for public office once up in Aurora, Illinois. I don't know if you know where that is. It's west of Chicago. Today, the population's about 150,000. So I have this interest in politics, and I really enjoy poking fun at the opposition. But this failure to take accountability, leaders need to be willing to stand up and take the fire for what happens to their or within their organization. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to lose at leadership. If there's an inability to share credit for work that's done by others, and we talked about that earlier, another overlap about what General Colin Powell said, and I think what he said is powerful. And if you want to be a successful leader, remember that. It doesn't matter. If you want to see true success, there's no end to what you can accomplish if it does not matter who gets the credit. And then this last one, which I think is interesting when I think of the fact that we would talk about this out in the secular world of business, but then I think about this group and how to lose at leadership if you display or demonstrate unethical or immoral behavior. We're all human. We're all sinners saved by grace. We know that. And we know who the enemy is, and we know we're going to be attacked every day, every minute of our lives. If there is a time when we do give in and we're guilty of this, we know, of course, that God will forgive us, but it might also cost us our ministry. So be aware. And we're talking about how to lose at leadership and in your role serving God full time, unethical or immoral behavior will cause you to lose at leadership. And Brother Mark got here just in time. I'm done with that, and I'm going to call up Brother Terry because remember we talked about his notes and his comments on all of that material. The stuff that he wrote down specific to the topic of how to lose at leadership was so powerful and so good because it came from his experiences. What I did was I took all of his comments and I made a PowerPoint slide for each one. And I asked him if he would just come up and share those from the heart because it's something he lived. So, Brother Terry?
Okay, I guess this is one of those good examples of what you do in secret. It will be proclaimed from the housetops. I did this in secret, just commenting on these things that Brother Wayne brought out in his teaching materials. And I'm telling you, when I got to this part of his material, again, I used a term before that the switchboard just started lighting up, so to speak. I thought of so many things that that I have seen missionaries do over the years, and I have to be honest with you that one of the missionaries who I saw do some of these things is yours truly, and I did a lot of this in ignorance. And some of it with arrogance. And of course, the Lord, over the course of time, showed me the error of what I was doing. But I think it would have been much better, rather than taking corrective action, would have been to have avoided some of this altogether. And I'll go ahead and bring up some of this, and these are some comments of that I annotated to Brother Wayne's notes. The content in these slides of what Wayne has already covered in the preceding session, the content in these slides alone could indict many a missionary or pastor, and these points are not only insightful of being able to give us some insight, but they, in many ways, they are insightful. They incite some things, and so I want to work through a few of these, and just especially as you will have access to this material of just explaining some of what I wrote. More of it I wrote on the side of being brief, but just trying to explain some of that. His initial point of trying to set out to defeat someone or something that, you know, for us to go into a cross-cultural or multicultural situation and try to defeat century-old lies. And that can be, that could even be a culture here in the United States, trying to go into a ministry in the Bronx or in Harlem. Someplace like that, where there are long-standing things that have been, they have been said to people so often that people they've literally been imprinted on their mind to where it controls their behaviors, and the things that were drilled into each generation from their infancy. For us to go in and to try to defeat such things. many times it may be a waste of time for us to try to defeat such error by harping on it, because the more that we say about it, the more that they're hearing about such lies and fallacies and I think it would be you can see Jesus in his ministry where he did address certain lies and errors that had been propagated among the generations that he was dealing with. But by and large, Christ demonstrated for them a higher culture. And he did that not just by telling them some things. He modeled it for them. And I believe I've come to a greater appreciation for the incarnation of God's Word when in the last few years the Lord has impressed upon my heart that what we call the incarnation of the Word, it's not just a one-time event that God wanted to happen. Now the Word becoming flesh, Jesus Christ taking on human flesh, was a one-time event. But what I'm trying to offer here is that I believe God wants His Word to be fleshed out three-dimensionally in this body that Terry Childers lives in, and to be fleshed out in you to where it's not that I just tell you about the love of God. I come and I show you the love of God. I demonstrate. This is what love looks like. It's not just a statement on a piece of paper, and the offering of ourselves as a living sacrifice, that it becomes a three-dimensional, fleshed out living experience, not just a statement in Scripture. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to minimize the perfections of the Scripture. I'm trying to get us to understand that we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit and our cooperation with Him, that the Word of God can literally be modeled and demonstrated for people to see. And I think that too oftentimes we're in the mode of disseminating information. Well, here's four things God wants you to know. And all four of those things that we talk about are true. And it's absolutely necessary for people to see them. But let me show you what that means. I'll show that to you in my life, and God can make this a reality in your life as well. And getting back to this idea of our trying to defeat someone or something, I think we will do far better to demonstrate God's culture and God's standard of truth. And just to finish up with what it says there on the screen, when the missionary allows the Spirit of God to fully display Christ in his life, Christ will draw men unto himself. And we have his Word on it. And so let us certainly not be guilty of trying to defeat a person or trying to defeat some long-standing 2,000, 3,000-year-old cultural problem. Now, and I believe that when we let the Word of God fill up a situation like that, the Word of God is perfectly capable of defeating such things. And Brother Bryant, did you have a comment? Or?
A long-standing cultural thing for them would be, they start giving children wine to drink at an early age. Now, you never go and drink wine. And of course, we get the scriptures against it, but if we spent all of our time trying to break that tradition, people would turn it off. Very matriarchal. And women have a lot of control. And so scripturally it should be the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Available to share.
Yes.
And so Brother Gagliotto gave Cecilia and he told me, look, he said, we have to come here and we have to use the word model. We have to model what God's family and the roles of the family are for these people. Because we can tell them, look, sir, you're supposed to be in charge. And, you know, man, you're supposed to be submissive. But if you just tell them that, they're not going to get it. They have to see it.
Mm-hmm. And that is I appreciate you offering true to life example or true to life application, because they have known those things from their infancy. That's what they saw their mother and father doing. That's what they have done with their own children. That's what all of society around them is doing. And for us just to harp against it, it in the long run may be detrimental to what we're trying to accomplish. Just set that higher standard of the standard of truth and what the Word of God has to say on that. And by doing so, we not only are being a faithful witness unto our Lord Jesus, but we are giving the Holy Spirit the tool that He can use to set people free from that, because it is the truth that will set them free. And I appreciate your sharing that. Second one that we have here is focusing on our own personal goals. And, just some things that came to my mind as I came across that in the teaching material, Brother Wayne. This idea of aiming at large numbers, more conversions and more churches bragging rights would be the best word to use to describe it, where we come home on our first furlough and we started 19 churches. Now we give praise to the Lord, but how realistic is that? And I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it has never been done, but let's make sure that we're not focusing on being able to preach in every province within the country. I was able to preach in the province of every of the whole country of Kenya, da, 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 and all of that. These personal goals, and nothing wrong with personal goals. We're not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not make the personal goals the driving force behind what we do in the larger scope of our ministry. This thing of personal goals, our primary focus may be being able to please our sending churches in the USA. I feel a responsibility to being able to give a good report to my sending church and my supporting churches, but I believe the highest level of our pleasing would be to doing those things that are pleasing unto the Lord. And but the churches in America might not understand that. Well, we have to let God deal with in our defense of those things and make sure that we are focused on pleasing Him and accomplishing those things which He would have us to do. And then maybe a personal goal of I want to establish a mega ministry. I want a huge centralized ministry where we can have a lot of satellite branches and so forth. And these are things that I have that I've heard people say. And some of this again, the thought that had crossed my mind at times in my decision making on things of doing in the ministry. And I want to caution against focusing, just having the focus on one's own personal goals, that we would certainly not let that be the driving force in our ministry. And we can lose at leadership by showing our superiority by focusing, by forcing others into submission. And saying things like, and I'm sure no one in this room would ever say this, and I'm sure I have never, well, not 100% sure that I've never said this, but saying things like, well, I'm in charge around here, so you'll do what I say. If you ever become boss, then you can call the shots. And we hear people say those things. And I don't know, do you want to follow somebody like that into battle? I don't think I would. And then we have this problem of trying to put ourselves in a position of power. And the temptation, like Nebuchadnezzar had, that Babylon that I have built. Look what I have done. And the idea that none of this would have happened without me. And if that final line there on this slide that if we're ever tempted to think that it would fall apart tomorrow if I were to pull out, we are literally incriminating ourselves in what we have done in the ministry. Because the ultimate goal of our being in missions and in the ministry should be that if God takes me home tomorrow, that this ministry will live long after I'm gone, long after my money is gone from anything that I'm supporting here. And that doesn't mean that we don't invest, and it doesn't mean that we don't have a long time association with certain things that we're doing in those ministries. But there should come a time, and if you'll pardon the analogy, there should come a time of when the child can be removed from the breast and it'll live on its own. And not to be distasteful here, but I think we all would find it offensive if we saw a 25-year-old adult that's still nursing from their mother. But yet in the ministry, especially in missions, we see that far too often where there are 30-year-old works that still depend. They still have to feed from a missionary. There's something wrong there. And I don't have all of the answers. I'm just trying to direct our attention towards an area where we need to make sure that we do not let the devil, that we're not ignorant of his devices where he traps us into something that becomes a permanent growth or a permanent appendage of us. And so trying to put ourselves into a position of power and to where we, nobody can get rid of us, where we're indispensable because we are dispensable. We must be dispensable and let God, of course, lead and sustain His work. And then this idea of using threats to get others to do things our way, declaring things like, well, you're going to do what I say, or I'm going to pull my financial support out of this project. If you mess with me, I'll see to it that you never preach or pastor in this area again. And I'll tell you what, I have overheard conversations of preachers, big name influential preachers, who have said that to people. And I'm going to tell you, my heart was literally grieved to hear that type of a spirit. I don't think they know what manner of spirit they are of in saying such things. And while that does happen on occasion here in the States, we need to make sure that we are not guilty of modeling such things among those whom we are trying to teach to be leaders over God's work. That we would be much more gracious, much more giving and allowing in such things and cooperative and letting God raise up leaders without us infecting them and crippling them with some of these viral things, if you will, that infect people in the ministry. So not using threats, not using veiled threats, not even intimidating people to thinking that that we're going to use coercive measures against them if they won't cooperate with us. And then this idea of acting unpredictably and surprising people and having these knee-jerk reaction to problems and issues. And I've seen missionaries that they've closed down preaching points, they've closed down young churches, they've just gone in at the spur of the moment, and where there's been maybe a conflict, maybe there's some disagreement with the missionary, and a missionary showing up unexpectedly and announcing, "We're closing this work down because." Brother Victor, I saw a reaction from you. Have you witnessed such things yourself? And you can change the names to protect the guilty, but. Okay.
Where the Spanish pastor just said, had a meeting with people and said, you know, we're pulling out of the general church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just these knee-jerk reactions and making these command decisions. Well, I'm the leader around here, and here's what I decided. Those things can be. Here's part of the problem that if I could broaden the scope just a little bit here. Around the world, the population of nations around the world, they see an abundance of wrong leadership. And that happens here in America, by the way, where there's this horrible display of so much wrong leadership that's going on. We don't need to add to the baggage that people are carrying by our displaying wrong or faulty or weak or loser styles of leadership. We need to be certain that we are walking with God, that we are in submission to the Holy Spirit, that we are cooperating with Him and letting Him work through us so that we can be the model of what biblical leadership really is. And I'll add this, take just a moment to do that, but during this preaching, this message that we heard earlier this week on spiritual maturity, I believe it was then that it was brought out that having strong convictions is not necessarily a sign of good leadership. Adolf Hitler had some very strong convictions. I would not put him anywhere near the model of good leadership. And, you know, we could cite other things. Just having good preaching ability, being able to carry through with preaching a message is not necessarily a sign of good leadership. So we need to make sure that we are letting the Spirit of God lead us, and that we don't have these knee-jerk, spastic reactions to things that go on in the ministry that God gives us. And then this idea this problem of where we avoid trying to understand the feelings of others and not bothering to seek out or to consider cultural implications of what we plan to do. That's a sure way to lose at leadership in the society or the people group to whom God calls you. There are, yes, the people to whom you're going, they are lost. They are, most of them are without light, or they have very little light. But there are some very powerful things that have developed through the centuries, powerful things that have developed in their culture that are going to, they're going to be a controlling force, whether they're right or wrong. And I would just offer this as a, in the way of a broader suggestion, that you spend an adequate amount of time. Let me even extend it, that you spend an extended amount of time trying to learn the culture of the people to whom God is sending you. There were things that, if I would have been studious, there were things in Kenya that I would have learned earlier on if I would have been studious, a diligent student of the culture. But I did not learn them until 20 years into our ministry. And it's then that I finally figured out some of the things that I've been fighting for 20 years. And I'll give you one example. In 2002, we did our first youth camp. And God had laid a certain theme on my heart to address a certain problem that is very prevalent in, at least in Eastern Africa, East African culture, and that is sexual promiscuity, to where, in talking with some of our spiritually mature young people, that came to discover that their parents, here these young people were 18 and 19 years old, and their parents were very troubled because they were not having multiple sexual partners. Why? What is wrong with you? And and as crazy as that is, and I thought, we've got to do something to show these young people the truth about purity and so forth. And so I talked with some of our young people about some of the problems that they faced and these pressures, some of them parental pressures, societal pressures. And I was able to determine some problematic areas from them. But then I went and I talked to our pastors, older, experienced men. And if we're talking to our young people very pointedly about them practicing purity in their physical relationships with people, what is that? What kind of situations are we going to get into from the cultural side of things? And we were able to work through that. And I'm telling you, that was a very blessed event when we hosted that camp, and we had about 18 or 20 of those young people to sign a pledge of maintaining their purity wherever they were at. And then and most of them were no longer virgins, but where they had taken a vow that they were going to begin practicing purity and waiting until that God joined them together in a proper marriage relationship. And I had the privilege just before we left Kenya of seeing two of the young men, along with two of the girls that they married who had been in that youth camp, and how that they stood and testified in their church at what an influence that camp had been in their life. And that was certainly a sweet fruit for us to enjoy from what had been invested in that. And I'm just trying to say, in this matter if we think that we can don't need to have any consideration of trying to understand the feelings of others and cultural implications of things, we're going to end up losing some of our leadership influence that we could have over people. And I hope all of that made sense. But that's just one of those areas where We tried to get people, involve people, tried to get some understanding of feelings and the implications of things so that that we could proceed in a decently and in order over something the Lord had laid upon our heart. I wasn't necessarily seeking their approval on whether we can do this or not. What is the best way for us to do this? What are things that we should avoid? And then this idea of not letting people work together, not letting people think for themselves, that saying things like, if you're going to associate with so-and-so, then there's no place around here for you. As long as we are the decision makers for other people, in many ways they'll never come to the realization of how to make rational and right decisions for themselves. Now we can address situations where someone is associating with people or they're frequenting places that cause us some concern. And have you thought about how people might interpret what you're doing? I know you're going there to the bar to witness to people, but there's a lot of people that are going to the bar who are going to be spreading the word. They see you there, and they're going to be spreading the word that, Pastor Wayne, he was at the bar. And they're not going to tell the whole story. they're going to use it for their own purposes. He's just like everybody else. He was at the bar with everybody else. Well, Brother Wayne, if you're going to associate with people like that, then I can't have you in our ministry. We just need to make sure that we talk to this conflict. That would be like a conflict, for example, that conflicts with what I believe that the places where a preacher of the gospel should avoid them. And I'd like to talk to you about this, brother. And trying to help them to see it in a logical way so that they're not causing detriment to themselves, to their testimony, or to the work and the broader work of the ministry that we are working in together. And just for the record, I'm not seeing Wayne at the bar, so we're thankful for that. Of course, I've not been at the bar to see whether he's at the bar. So I heard some of you. I heard the engine start up there. I heard the key go in the ignition. Let's see where we can go with this. So let people think for themselves. But sometimes they can use some coaching and some loving rebuke, if you will, some coaching and some gracious rebuke from us. Just helping them to understand some of the greater implications of these things. Let's see where we're at here. And we can lose at leadership by emphasizing the insignificance of others. Maybe in a heated moment, jumping up and saying something like, everything about this country, everything about these people are, it's primitive, they're idiots, and no wonder you're so backwards, no wonder you don't have any progress, and can't you see that I'm offering you the right way of doing things? It's just things like that, and there are many frustrations that happen to us when we're in those foreign situations. But there are many things that happen, for example, when Brother Emmanuel is in this foreign situation that I'm sure that frustrate you. And even as he mentioned earlier, some frustrating and puzzling things of his dealing with Americans. We need to be sure that we are not showing the insignificance of others that, for the most part, the Kenyan people were gracious, loving, and hospitable to me. And to me and my family. And yes, there were things where if you want to call it that, rub point, that that were difficult for us to deal with, but we certainly need to keep those few things in a proper perspective. That's not the real issue of what we're dealing with here, and that we can focus on the significance of what people are doing. And then this idea of showing our own superiority, or the superiority of our own culture. Well, in America, we would do it like this. And, you know, there's been a few times where I have foolishly made such statements, and a wise old businessman or a wise public servant, well, you're not in America, Buona, you're not in America. And, oh, thank you, you're right. And there's no need to compare, at least for the defense of our leadership role, there's no need for us to compare our host country with our native country here in America. Because oftentimes that will be, first of all, it doesn't solve anything. And secondly, it will oftentimes be misunderstood that, well, Americans think that they're the only ones that know how to do something. So that's, you know, those are just some things that I kind of annotated on Brother Wayne's notes, that really, this session on losing at leadership, it really got a hold of me. And things that I know that I have been guilty of and that I have seen others do that were totally counter effective to what we were trying to do in the ministry that God had called us to there. And so, Brother Wayne, that's my confession. If you I'll turn things back to you. And
Brother Peach is going to pause that, but that caused me to think of something. I was born and raised in East Tennessee, but God gave me the opportunity to live in other cultures within this country, and I like to tell people that I do speak two languages. I speak Northern and Southern. I worked for a company that was headquartered in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I witnessed Brother Terry in that culture when I would go up for business meetings or whatever, that the Minnesota natives tended to look down their nose at us Southerners and would say things like you said, but that it was so much different or better in Minnesota than down south. And I was assigned to a facility in Central Texas a number of years ago, and in fact, you remember I made reference to a man who taught me how not to do things? Well, it happened to be his wife. And in some of these small towns where my company would build a plant, there were certain expectations that the site manager and the HR manager would become involved in the community. And just as with pastors and missionaries and their wives, where the wife is also expected to be part of the ministry, well, in the world of business, as an HR manager or a site manager, our wives were also expected to participate with us as we would go out and represent the company in the community. Well, here this guy's wife was, and him and her were unusually tall, so they tended to stand out in the crowd, so everybody knew who these people were. But I'll tell you what she was known for in that small town in Central Texas. She was known for letting everybody know how horrible the schools were there and that how much better and superior they were up in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. So yeah, it happened in Kenya, but it also happens in this country. Now, I'm getting a high sign or a low sign over here that we're close to break, but remember earlier I said I maybe had some good news. Well, we were scheduled to end at 3, I believe, right?
Yes.
And when Brother Terry and I put this stuff together, I was thinking, or still thinking, in terms of how it would pace itself if I were dealing with a room full of managers. And in thinking that it would take X number of hours. And I put this thing together based upon my business experience. But because and as I told you this morning, in going through this materials, I wouldn't be able to share personal experiences from this material because I'm not a full-time pastor or a missionary. So the end result was we've gone through material much faster than we expected. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you go a little early today, not much, but a little early, and then we'll be back in here tomorrow morning at 10. And Brother Barati, you will be able to see that last segment. Oh, well, we got to make it last all day then. He's changed his travel plans. but we'll come back tomorrow morning at 10 and cover the remainder of the material. And hopefully you will continue to find value. Let me repeat something I already said a couple of times about this material. Again, we're by design not going into great depth in this material. We want to raise your awareness, help you identify some of your training needs in particular areas, and hopefully utilize bio and the SMART ministry as a means to gain that training and that knowledge. And that's my segue to Brother Terry, who's going to come back up and wrap it up and share some things with you, and then he's going to let us go for the day.